Welcome to the Lost Art Podcast, presented by Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Rivet GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'm your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Albania. It's 28 degrees here. We just disembarked from the ferry. We're going to go through the custom, and that's it.
It's day 10 of the race, and our reporters are now both on the eastern side of the Adriatic, entering the Balkans. The riders who are now in Eastern Europe seem to have only two things on their minds. One, the impact of the restarting of each of their races by taking the same crossings. And two, the road conditions. After crossing Western Europe and suddenly getting off a ferry plank in Albania, the new road surface is feeling like a shock. Of course, by this point, they are all accomplished gravel riders, but the big problem is that they are riding bikes that now have over 3,000 kilometers on them and holding their handlebars with hands that have that same distance as well. Their tire walls are stressed, and so are they. Our media cars have been out tracking down riders for photographs and seem to mostly be finding people patching tubes on the side of the road. When the overnight ferries from Italy to Albania docked this morning, there was effectively a reset on the race between the fastest women. Yana, Cynthia, and Lael all managed to catch last night's crossings, and so woke up this morning in a tied first place. Here's race reporter Sophie with Cap 112, Lael Wilcox, who seemed to be on a mission when she left the ferry in the morning, only to be taken down by sharp rocks on her new tires.
Sophie!
What happened? What happened here?
I was like, this is my day, and I'm going crazy. And then I get a sidewall cut, and I was like, oh, I just got these yesterday. I was like, man. Then my super glue was dried into a brick. That's my usual fix. And I was like, oh, I tried to cut it open with a knife and it was like, there's no glue. So then I'm putting like toothpaste and patch glue. And yeah. Then like just a little bit of dirt.
And you were hoping like dirt.
Nursing it. And then eventually I was like, maybe I need to really put a plug in there. But I was like, dang it. And you know, I was like, just, I felt like I was on a day.
Because you like the whole choice of your bike and everything, it was, you had that in your mind, and then
yeah, and I was like riding, I was riding some really sketchy stuff. And I was like, this is going great, and thinking in my mind, oh, these new tires, they're so good, they're perfect, this is what's working.
Well.
I know, that's just classic. But you know what, I just hope that it'll hold, because otherwise rats.
You don't have a tube.
I do, but especially I didn't want to put a tube in on that. I would have had to walk the rest of the way. I don't know, the bike shop guy was like, this is the sealant that Tadej Pogacar uses.
Yeah, but you know Pogacar, he has a bike mechanic.
I know.
Looking at his bike every night.
I know, and I have dried out super glue.
I'm not sure that bike mechanic understood what you what you were doing or where you were going.
I know, and he's from Albania, that guy. He should know.
He should know, yeah.
But I think this is gonna work.
Good.
Yeah, you gotta.
This is Lael Wilcox pumping a tire. Cap 112. I think you can call 112 now.
Emergency number, right?
Yes.
If there's a problem, it's me.
And Cap 175, Christoph Bernsteiner.
So you took the gravel?
No, I took the street.
So why was it rough?
Yeah, it was even a rough road sometimes, and yeah. My heart was bleeding because I wanted to do the gravel part, but I played it safe, and it's okay. I can live with it, but it was working a lot in my head the first time, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm here, my bike is still here, so it's okay. And I don't lose too much time. I was losing a lot of time on the ferry, I think, because we were like the third ferry which arrived, and the first one was like 1 hour before us, I think. Yeah, we arrived like at 9 o'clock.
It's a big gap.
And the first one came at 8 o'clock, so I was riding like hell in the morning now, but it was not enough. But yeah, the road was a little bit longer, so it's okay.
But you had one hour of rest more. That's so nice.
Yeah, but...
Oh, you were just stressed. Were you looking at the tracker and stressing like that they were
No, that was not the thing, but... you can tell it like that. That I'm very relaxed now. And I can push longer, yeah, maybe, but I don't think so.
So there is still spots for the top 10. Are you already thinking about that, or are you just going to ride your race?
Yeah, I don't know. I will ride my race, but a little bit with one eye, a little bit on the top 10 still. But yeah,
and the other one on the road in front of you.
Yeah, you have to put both eyes on the road because they're not the yellow of the egg. But yeah, it's okay. You will get used to it, hopefully.
Sophie found Cap 155, Danny Green, in a small store doing a unique resupply stop.
Shoes?
Mina comment. Mina?
Yeah.
You want to buy shoes?
I passed a shop as I was coming through town. It's something I did on a previous TCR, you know, when you've got really rough.
He's showing you keys.
De moula.
Oh, no, no, just some,
can you put up?
What's he got?
He's going at the back. Big cardboards.
Pink flip.
Ah. Oh, wow. Are you happy with the colour of your slippers?
You haven't got these on video, have you?
No, I'm definitely...
Like a lilac flip-flop with little flowers on.
Yeah, it's shiny flowers.
Very masculine.
Do you even have like a little heel at the back?
A little heel. Ooh. At the back for digging into the
And they are 39. What's your...
41, but I'll squeeze into them.
Yeah.
They're just there as an emergency if... I've looked at the gravel and it looks a bit sharp and punchy. So if it's that bad, I'll just get off and walk.
I want to see those shoes at the finish your party, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
You have to wear them now.
And here's Cap 77, Riccardo Mosconi.
So we are at CP5, you're eating, drinking, and then you go?
Yeah, of course. And there is too much hot today. I don't think like this. But... I see that on the road there are many fountains, so it's good.
Mm.
And
how are the road conditions so far?
The road condition isn't so good. There are too many
potholes.
Yeah. You can't push so much because after that. I suffer also from the neck. So it isn't so good. There are some kilometers are okay, are very very fine too. But the
you can be on the TT bar and then find a rhythm. And
yeah, it's impossible to stay in the bars.
Yeah.
So you aren't so fast like I would have.
All right, I'm gonna leave you to that sandwich.
Okay, thank you.
Here's Sophie again with a new segment that we had to create for this one special incident called the Creativity Badge.
So today there is another special badge, the Creativity Badge, and it goes to Peter Kromberger, Cap 26. So on the gravel after the Parcours 5, Peter had another puncture, no spare tubes, no patches. So the only solution he could think of was to put grass inside his tires, and actually... Yes, I'm going to repeat that. Grass inside his tires. And it actually worked. He managed to ride 20K to the CP5. So I think we are looking at a good nickname here.
Further up the road, already in Romania, here's our race reporter Jake with an update on the race for first, which for days now has been a test between only two riders.
Well, this is a race that just keeps on giving. This evening there's been another twist in its tail. So while for most of the day and yesterday it was looking like we were going to be naming Victor Bassoni as TCR's youngest Victor, it's not so clear-cut anymore. So the reason for this twist is the famed Friendship Bridge, which has been at the heart of discussions around route choices for months now, between dot watchers and riders alike. As soon as route discussions started to percolate, the Friendship Bridge came into question. Now, Andrew was very clear about this at rider briefing. Number one, all e-roads in Bulgaria are banned. And number two, anyone ending up north of the Danube is doing so entirely under their own steam and of their own volition because the controls the fifth control in Borel, and obviously the finish in Constanța, both sit south of the Danube. So anyone ending up north of the Danube is doing so on their own terms. So they have to then navigate their choices about getting back across. As you know, in the rules of the TCR, direct river crossings are permitted. So this then led to the discussion of the Friendship Bridge, which is an e-road that connects Bulgaria with Romania, crossing the Danube. The question in people's minds, though, was whether the Friendship Bridge had a pedestrian crossing. The race organisers didn't have clear answers on this. This was for people to do their own research and discover. However, while following Victor Bassoni and seeing him divert towards the Friendship Bridge, the race crew of Control Car 1 decided to check out the bridge on the grounds of safety. Now, while there was a pedestrian crossing to the bridge, it was not fully barriered off from the road. And more importantly, the pedestrian crossing fell away at points into the ravine below. So, on the grounds of safety, race director Andrew Phillips deemed the bridge impassable within the scope of the rules. Making Victor aware of this as he passed, Victor was then forced to rethink his route and come up with a new plan to cross the Danube further downstream. So, that left him an option, a new dash to a different ferry, as if we hadn't seen enough of that this race. This one was tighter. This one, he had several hours, 4 or 5 hours, to make the distance up of 158k, which was a tall order. There was a sort of melange of online information around this sailing. Some sources said it sailed through the night. Others said that it stopped and started again at 6. Some sources said the last sailing was at 11:30, which might mean that Victor could make it. Anyway, so Victor headed off on a headlong dash and arrived having missed the last sailing, forcing him to stop and sleep on the Romanian shores of the Danube. This has opened up an opportunity for Martin Moritz, should he choose to take it. The race is still alive and competition has stirred once more between those front two riders. So it remains to be seen. Will Victor make an early crossing and manage to stay ahead of Martin or catch him with fresh legs on the Finnish parkour to arrive in Constanța and be crowned the TCR's youngest general classification winner? Or will Martin manage to sustain the effort of his ride across the continent and push through the night to pip Victor to the post?
And back in Borel, race reporter Sophie is catching up with the riders who have come in for the fifth control stamp.
Here's Mark Kowalski, cap 178.
Did you take the gravel?
I did, yes.
And?
It was lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had. It was a lovely climb up. It was a bit of shade. We had shade from the trees, which I was so thankful for. It was very hot. And then, yeah, the gravel. I mean, I think I preferred it to Strada della Sieta, like, because you didn't get washboard. I mean, you got baby head rocks, but that's just part of it, right? But, no, great views. And
the bike resisted because it's...
And I have a gravel bike this year, so that was very helpful, but I did get some odd leakage in my tires. Plugged one hole, and then it kept leaking, and I thought maybe the valve was malfunctioning or something, and there was another hole. I'm a bit worried I'm low on sealant, so that's the next problem to solve.
It's a good introduction to Albanian roads, no?
Oh, yeah. No, I was nervous about it, because like, all the other races were taking the road, and I was like, what do they know that I don't? Because I didn't even know about a road bypass. And I was like, right, like, I've done TCR9, I've been on an Albanian parkour before, like, it couldn't be worse than that. I've got a gravel bike this time. Like, there's nothing to be worried about. And maybe fortune favors the brave, and it's a quicker way to get here. Not that I think anyone took the road bypass on this ferry, or did anyone take it? One person, maybe? Let's see if I'm ahead of that person. I don't know.
And still edging out in front of the other women, despite the ferry helping the chasers catch up, Jana Kessenheimer, cap number one, is organized and determined.
Did you take the gravel path?
Yeah.
Was it in your plan?
Yeah, it was my plan.
Okay.
Yeah, and now that I'm well rested, I thought that this is going to be a good idea. And it worked, so I felt quite
confident. Puncture, no?
No, everything's fine. But, I mean, it's a trade-off between speed and risk. So, yeah, I tried to ride it all, but be safe.
Mm.
Yeah. And also I felt fresh, like my legs are good, my mind's clear, so yeah.
What was it like? Can you ride it?
Yeah, I rode most of it. Like at the beginning it was quite rough, but yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's in your cocktail here?
Yeah, I'm mixing always Fanta and Coke. It's a German thing called Spezi. Yeah. In Germany, you can buy it like this.
So that's really a thing. Like,
yeah, it's a thing, yeah.
How are you feeling about the ferry situation and that you've got now a big number of you starting again at the same kind of time?
I mean, of course, it's a bit disappointing to lose the time that I gained. But I don't know, we signed up for this race and I won't complain.
At 155, Danny Green, he of the Lilac Sandals, is on it with his Control Point Nutrition.
What are you eating at CP5?
Rice and veal with like a rich gravy, yogurt, bread, Coke, water.
And those two plates, they were yours as well?
Yeah.
So we are looking at 5 plates of food. That's an accomplishment, huh?
Yeah.
Making to CP5 and eating that much food.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a long journey.
Yeah, I'll leave you to it.
Cap 325, Nicholas Hulse, was also caught up by riders behind him when he had to wait for the same ferry crossing.
How are your legs?
They're pretty fresh, actually. They're pretty good, yeah.
What are you looking at now?
I burped my tyre a bit, so like I just lost a bit of pressure.
Did you take the gravel?
Yeah. So I didn't punch it, but I just like burped a bit of the...
Are you riding tubeless?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I just want to get a compressor, so like...
Mm.
And thank you for not asking about the ferry.
Yeah, because you don't feel so happy about the ferry?
No, I feel pretty livid about it, but...
Are you going for the top 10?
I'm just doing the best I can, to be honest. Like, I don't really see the point in counting...
That's the best message, you know?
But like, I mean... What I was speaking about before is like there's people who like 200k behind you or something like that, and then being on the same ferry as them, like it's like
it's just
more importantly, like really disrupts your the flow of your race, if that makes sense. So I'm like starting from fresh, but it kind of just feels weird. So I was like not having a meltdown, but I was just kind of like, what am I doing with myself a bit yesterday?
And now for another voice note postcard. Here's Ricardo Del Rey, Cap 286, who you'll remember from previous episodes is riding for his cycling friend, who, following an accident, is now in a wheelchair. For every kilometer Ricardo pedals, a euro is donated to getting his friend a hand cycle, and so he's chosen a longer route deliberately.
So before starting this race, I met Roberto Baldassi, a rider from my hometown, who rode the TCR 2 years ago. And yeah, he told me, "You will become part of the big family." And when he said that, I didn't understand. But now, between the 7th and the 10th day, I'm starting to realize that all of us riders are really part of a big family. Because even we only cross paths for a few moments, those quick hello and those few words we exchange are slowly building a bond. If we cross paths, it's because we ride the same trails through the day. And indirectly, with that quick hello, before distancing ourselves to respect the no draft rule, of course, a connection is created between those who are sharing the same incredible adventure. And yeah, for this reason, like the fox on the Petit Prince, there are days then when I start pedaling, happily, I ride because I know that probably I will bump into another rider, and even if it lasts only a second, it will be like sharing a second with a family. And this feeling of family is further amplified by the dot watcher that are waiting for us along the road. I honestly didn't imagine that would be so many fans. So some shoot, "Come on, Ricardo," from their car windows, even to me, that I am nobody, just one of 500 participants. But all of us, from the first to the last in the GC, we are part of this great family called Transcontinental Race. And I really like this feeling.
John Pez, cap number 57. And yes, I have a story for you. And really, I'd like to share it mainly out of awareness, so other people don't have to potentially go through the pain and agony that I had to go through a few days ago. So back in France, woke up one morning pretty disheveled and tired, couldn't get my eyes open, and just jumped out of bed and went straight to the bike, opened the top tube bag and pulled out my eye drops. So yeah, straight to the bathroom, pulled the left eye down and then put a drop in. And then as soon as that drop hit my eye, there was like a burning pain that just punched through my eyeball straight to the back of my head. And then I opened my eye properly and looked up at the bottle that was hanging a few centimetres from my eyeball. And rather than the eye solution, it was actually some bike chain lube. So I remember, it's probably quite funny looking back, but I remember just silently, like quietly saying to myself, fuck. And then just started shouting fuck about 10 times, like whilst throwing loads of water down my eye. And yeah, managed to clean it out. The pain went. I mean, it did the job. It woke me up. I was definitely awake at that point, and I was able to continue my ride. And no harm was done. So a lesson learned for myself, and I guess the whole of civilization, really, not to put wax chain lube in your eyeball. Not good. So yeah, enjoy that.
By tomorrow, we should have a race winner, but for everyone else, a lot of challenges and adventures still lie ahead. At the end of day 10, here's your daily recap from Sophie.
Hello everyone from the other side, I mean in Albania. So today, I was able to pick up the riders right out of their bed this morning, as some of the 15 riders crossing from Italy to Albania last night were on the same boat than us, as called the party boat. So by bed, I mean the carpet on the floor. So riders were quite easy to recognize. I just had to look for people with all of their stuff around them, leftover food and puffy eyes. Yeah, sorry, not so fresh looking faces after like what seems to be a long night for them. So let's talk about boats. So there was three different possible boats. They all left at the same time the previous night. So it was kind of exciting to see who will disembark first. At the end, there was a gap of 1 hour between the first and the last rider to disembark. So some may say it's luck. Or bad luck, but some of the riders made sure to be at the right place to be the first to get out when some other just left their bike behind big trucks, so they had to wait a long time before they could get out. So it's definitely not all about luck, to my opinion. So ferry subjects. There is a mixed feeling among the riders here about the ferry on the race in general. Some see it as an unfair neutralization of the race, but others, like Lel, Cap 112, included it in their race strategy from the beginning, looking at the ferry at the first stage of the race. So they preserved themselves until they slept a lot and in order to arrive as fresh as possible for the last stretch of 1200 kilometers to Constanta in Romania, where the finish line is. So in Albania, it's 30 degrees at the moment, so quite hot, but the mountains are full of fountain with really good water, so you can also put your head around it. So according to the riders, the roads are from, and I quote, bad to no good. And I can really confirm because I've been driving today and it felt like I was driving on my Renault 4, who has absolutely no suspension left. The only place we could talk to the riders today was CP5, because otherwise they are just not stopping and guessing where they are going to resupply, which usually a resupply is last like 2 to 3 minutes. So there is many options here, so it's quite impossible for us to guess where they're going to stop. So at the CP, some riders took really their time. They took care of their bikes, resupplied quickly, and then left right away. Some enjoyed the possibly only real meal they're going to get in Albania before moving to the next country. Time for the Gothic Girl moment ends me looking at the Instagram of the 262 riders still riding TCR. So Benny, cap 197, arrived in Siena and got distracted by a woman playing violin. She was playing Aria from Bach, which is, to my opinion, one of the most beautiful pieces there is out there. So at the end, he stayed for the 1 hour long concert, and I would probably have done the same. My bravery badge of the day goes to Nicolas Châtelet, cap 46, who had 11 punctures in 60 kilometers. 11. I'm always riding tubeless because I just hate changing tubes. So imagine how mentally draining it is to remove the wheel, take out the tire, look for the hole, patching it, and then put back the tire on the rim, which, by the way, destroy the skin on your thumb. So imagine doing that 11 times in a row. So well done, Nicola. You won't have the problem to find a job in a bike shop now. And see you in Romania. Some numbers. There is 262 riders still riding TCR, and today we had 15 scratches, which is part of the race. Albania went like the blink of her eye today. I had never visited a country so fast. So tonight we are already in North Macedonia. Tomorrow in Control Car 2, we will follow the leading woman. So that's it for today. Good night and good ride, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Lost Dot podcast. You can stay up to date with the race on our blog and social channels, where the Lost Dot team are reporting on stories from our riders throughout the day. Thanks to our race partners Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Rival TPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders out there, stay safe and try to take care of your tires.